Good morning. Here we are. We're back and we're ready to go live. The Real Network and the Gareth Cliff Show. Friday morning. We're into the month of April. Exciting stuff happening. Simpiwe and Ben in the studio. I am on location in my house. It's fantastic. not what I expected to be doing this morning, but there we go. I've actually got to come in for a meeting at 10, and you won't believe how bad the traffic is between 9 and 10. It always used to be like between 6 and 7 is terrible. 7 and 8 is bad. In fact, 7 and 8 is the worst. 8 and 9 is still quite a lot of traffic, but I had no idea, like 9 to 10. So I basically have to leave at 10 to 9 to get there for a 10 o'clock meeting. Ugh. Right? It's insane, right?
Yeah, I hate
especially
traffic.
Especially when it rains, it's the worst.
Yeah, because already people don't know how to drive. Let's be honest. Yeah. Most of you guys bought your license and you guys don't know how to drive. And then when it's rain, you're like, oh, I'm just going to drive at 50 on the fast lane. Like, yo. And it's just, it's worst. It's the worst of the worst. So I hate driving when it's raining. I hate driving when there's traffic. I just hate it because I have to deal with people who don't know how to drive.
Well, you're still getting all the hate from people who say that they, you know, when you remember when you went off about people in the little cars.
Yeah,
the
pickaninnies thinking that they're driving Porsches. Yeah, yeah, I stand by what I said. I said it with my chest. And I don't care what you guys say. You're driving biscuit tires over there with your smoke, trying to drive a 220s. You're going to break your car. So please, love your car. Love yourself. Drive it 100Ks. Stick to the slow lane and leave the big boys to drive on the fast lane. Thank you.
Well, spot on. You went viral. Simpiwe went viral. And now she's hated by some people who drive these little skorokoros in these. What did you say?
You're saying skorokoro. I said pikinini. Pikinini means small. Skorokoro is a thief. It's a different thing now. It's a different one. So, yeah.
So Bitcoin Boat wants to know, when are we getting some politicians in again? Do you really like when I have politicians on the show? Do you? Because I don't like politicians. And I mean, James is shaking his head. And I don't know, Simpiwe and Ben, do you really want to hear from these people, especially after they've just taken more money out of our wallets?
I would like to roast them, that's all. I just think they should have the balls to come in here. We set up like 6 chairs. There's you. We have audience. You can buy a ticket to roast whoever.
Okay.
And make it like medieval, huh? So go right. These are our 5 talking points. VAT, you voted for it. Are you a cunt? And go hard, guys. But go hard off the bat. And they're like, well, I can't get off the studio now.
Yeah, guys, but guys,
this is the only way we do it.
That's not my idea of fun. Plus, I'm not Deborah Patter, and there are lots of people who do
come
that.
Come on, Gareth, slap a bit of self-tone on and get some balls. Let's roast these motherfuckers.
So, Mapelo has some advice. Apparently, had a lot of this. Gareth would rather have very niche guests that very few people are interested in. Can I tell you something? I was talking about this with someone the other day because I think about the show all the time, right? And this person was telling me, I don't know this guy at all. He's not a friend or anyone. We were just talking about the show. And he's like, oh, what kind of guests do you really like having? I asked him, I don't know, what kind of guests do you think I should have? He listens to the show. So he said, I want to hear from people like this guy who was abducted by the Taliban and had to spend 7 years as a prisoner in this, like, he was had 9-year-olds, he said, with rifles pointed at this guy's head the whole time. And he had to survive for 9 years with the Taliban in Afghanistan. And I agree with him. Like, do I really want to have, God, you know, God bless them. Do I really want to have Helen Ziller and the mayor of Johannesburg and Banyaza Lesufi and Musi Maimane and Herman Mashaba and John Steenhuisen and Gates? Do I really want them? I mean, isn't there enough? Don't you have enough of these people already? Aren't they all over your life, whether you've asked them to be there or not, anywhere, pitch up on your feed without your permission? They do. I don't want them in the studio. We're going to try and keep this fun. And I do believe that fun includes harrowing stories and drama and excitement and non-celebrities. I mean, I'm kind of just not interested. There are lots of shows that do celebrity interviews really well. And we've had our time in that spotlight as well. I've had, it's well over 15,000 hours of interviews over the last 11 years. And I don't know that there's anyone in South Africa that's important that I haven't spoken to, with one or two obvious exceptions. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of more interested in hearing the stories that we haven't had on before and the people we haven't had on before. And those people aren't necessarily well known. Mm. So that's what we're going for. Since you asked, Mapelo, but you know, it's not by way of an excuse, that's an explanation.
Look, I think if you look where content is going in general, I watched a video recently about the demise of the Joe Rogan podcast. This guy had put a thesis together about why the thing sucks now. Mm-hmm. And I agreed with so much of it. I think Joe Rogan's great. I think he's done so much, but no one can stay at the top forever. And I think what you see now is like the context of an interview is changing. Mm-hmm. So it's not so much about having a person. It's like what you do with the person. What your show then looks like around that. Mm. And I think that's the other thing to look at. Just to get some prick in here, just to sit him down and talk for 45 minutes cold. I think a lot of people don't actually do that anymore. I think that's something to also consider. Mm-hmm. The interview landscape, I think, still produces the best content. I really do. Yes. I love it. Like, this is what I listen to. But it's evolving ever quicker. And I think when you create a format that you love and you know people really love, mm-hmm. you will then find the right guests for that. So we can't say, oh, you must interview politicians. If you get the right format, you can bring anyone in and it'll be fucking great.
True. But I would also say, like, in South Africa, I think people have this misconstrued idea of what podcasting is. Yes. And they think if it doesn't fit that mold, then, oh, no, you're doing it wrong. We oversaturated with people that just kiki. They just talk. They just share their opinions with no facts. They don't do research. They don't try and challenge each other. And so then they expect that of the next person, you know. They also expect everybody to have the same guests. Like, yo, guys, South Africa is a very small country. Very, very small. If you've been on one podcast, you've been on all. And I think it's a cool way to, like, look at it. Like, Gareth, you talking about stories that I'd love to listen to that. Like, it's like, what do you mean you were kidnapped? What happened? Who, where, what? This really happens. And I think this is why, like, there's a podcast on YouTube. It's a South African podcast where this guy was interviewing, like, criminals. And I was like, I want to hear how you stole 39 billion rand. You know?
By the way. Yeah, on that note, James and I are going to be getting a prostitute on soon. Nice. Now that'll be interesting.
Is that for James or for the show?
Well, that's a whole other discussion because in front of everybody in the office the other day, in fact, in a meeting, we're like going through what's happening on all the shows and this is what's coming up on the Shady podcast. And by the way, they've had some absolute killer guests recently. Just fantastic. Tall Ass Mo's been awesome. Just some great people. And you've had some terrific guests and On the Bounce and the Doctors. By the way, Let's Talk Man, which is our show with the Doctors. They've got theme shows now. They've had Addiction, mm-hmm. which is amazing. And people with sex addiction, drug addiction, drink addiction, all the addictions, right? And then they're doing a series on like animal attacks, which is so cool. That's coming up next. So you got to watch.
Can I just say that? I mean, Gareth's not mean by laughing. If you knew the various conversations where it got to this point, you'd understand why he's laughing. There's nothing funny about being attacked by animals, but trust me, the conversations we've had the last 2 weeks, that's why he's laughing.
Well, so in the same meeting, I say to everybody, all right, and by the way, I'm trying to get a hooker for James. So everybody goes, They ask exactly the question, basically. They're not going to say it like Ben just did, but that's what they're thinking there. So I go, yeah, and as a bonus, we can get her on the show as well.
I will say, like, you know, when you brought that up, I think of Sene, who is the producer for the Let's Talk Man podcast, and Yassi, there's a point where she was like, I want somebody who's addicted to sex. So she went to a strip club, you know, to get that content.
Sin is a hell of a producer here.
She literally went to a strip club. She's like, I need to find this person, so I'm going to go. And she went to a strip club.
We need more Sinners in this world. She is a force of nature, that woman.
Anything for content, guys. Anything
she's amazing.
For good content. This is what the guys will do this side.
Okay, so Lee says, I think the show has a healthy balance between serious, funny, meaningful, and interesting. And what's cool, by the way, this morning we don't have a guest on the show. And often when it's just Ben and Sims and I on a Friday, we have a whole lot more fun. Because, you know, it changes the energy. It's like if you're sitting down and you're having lunch with friends, and then someone else comes and sits down with you, you have to start again, if you know what I mean. It's like it upsets the vibe a little bit. So, I mean, we've known each other a long time on this show, and obviously there are people who have in the audience been there from day one, which is why we love the comment section. We're the only live internet and podcast show where you can actually join in while the show is happening. The only one I can think of. I don't know that there are any others that do that in that format. You could always obviously listen to the show, as many, many millions of people, I hope, are doing. When it comes to recordings, and we know that, but lots of people love being part of the live show because it's interactive. We can hear what you're saying. You can tell us what you're thinking, and we can give you feedback straight away. It's like a proper conversation. Love that. So that's also a unique thing about what we're getting done here. Super Megalol says Zapiro is a raging leftist now. Where does he even publish his cartoons anymore? Because, I mean, online, if so, is it under the banner of a newspaper? How does it work for a cartoonist these days? I really have no idea. We need more homeless people on the show, says...
correction. It's now a street dweller. Okay, get it right. Street dweller.
Unhoused people.
Who came together to make that official?
What? Oh, no, it was the guest. So, once again, shout out to Senna. You can watch Let's Talk Man every Monday right here on The Real Network. Make sure to subscribe. She got a street dweller, a famous known street dweller, Bonga Sithole. And he basically shared his story on how he... got to the streets and, you know, the life that he's had on the streets. So give that episode a watch.
Yeah, very good. And only in South Africa could a homeless person get famous.
I know, right?
I saw the funniest thing yesterday. Someone posted a video of, the caption was, South Africa can be so random sometimes. And then you see a taxi and a race car, like a Formula One racing car, coming around a corner in Cape Town. I don't know if they were filming something or whatever, but I'm like, yeah, that's very South Africa. It wouldn't make sense to anyone else anywhere in the world. But here, a Quantum and a racing car on the road at the same time. It's lovely. Gotta love this place. All right, so Sims, this is right up your street, and I think it will affect Ben with his new sauna hat business. Ooh. But the South African Revenue Service plans to withdraw all past concessions and that they've granted to traders that no longer align with current regulations, impacting businesses like Shein and Temu, which relied on a simple customs clearance process. This move aims to ensure compliance with the Customs and Excise Act and address concerns from local retailers about unfair competition. Their withdrawal may increase costs for, guess who, importers and customers, and affect industries beyond e-commerce, like wine production. So stakeholders have until the 23rd of April to submit feedback. The decision is expected to face resistance from affected businesses. So to me, one of the only reasons that it's worth buying from these sites, and many millions of South Africans do, is because it's cheaper. And it's only cheaper because you think that they have an arrangement with customs and excise. That's why you get the stuff so quickly too. And you still have to pay, but now they want more that they're not entitled to. They're not adding, just remember, the government, SARS, are not adding any value to this equation. They aren't making the product get to you faster. They aren't aren't making the product. They aren't sending it to you. They aren't paying for postage and packaging. They aren't delivering it to your house. They have nothing to add on that side. And on the customer side, it's not like they come to you and say, what would you really like? How can we help you get what you need better? How can we make it cheaper for you? They add no value to this, but now they want to increase the charges. That's just, again, these fucking parasites.
But that's also got to do with just trying to make things competitive to local producers, right? But local producers can never, ever compete no matter what. Mm. Everyone's like, you can't fight China. You can't. It's like fighting against thunder. Like, it really is.
Farting and fighting. You have to be careful how you say those.
You've got no chance with how they can produce things for the cost. And now you go, okay, well, we'll make their stuff more expensive. So we're still going to buy it, because even when you make it more expensive, it's still going to be cheaper. So then just don't make it more expensive.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I didn't, like, I actually for the first time purchased some items on Temu. It was like baby stuff, like books and like print thingy for the fingerprints and stuff like that. The one thing I will have to say is that I just got impatient. I think it took about like a week and a half. I think that was the one thing that was a bit, it was an ick, hey? Like, yeah. I was like, yo, I'm still waiting.
It's been a week.
Yo,
I made my
so
first
long.
Ever, like, because I don't care about those. It's a rabbit hole, right? Go onto that Temu site, it's like, shit. It's like everything that's ever been produced is on this site.
Yes, so, and then there's discounts and whatnot. So you're getting everything for a really cheap price. And I'm thinking, okay, cool, let's try this out. But the waiting, I think that's what's...
It's been more than a week. I ordered 4 sauna hats. And these were... How long did it take to get a sauna hat here, China? Eh?
Guys, just calm down. You know, you are... You're unbelievable, you two. You're like spoiled children.
Correct. Expect more.
In the old days of like 4 years ago, 2 years ago even, when you weren't ordering from Shein and Temu, things would take months. If I ordered a book from Amazon,
oh my gosh,
a couple of years ago, it would have taken 2-3 months for it to arrive at my house, because you first of all didn't have the couriers that these companies use. Because trust me, I've bought a bunch of stuff on Temu, right? And I've told you about it. We've spoken about it on the show. They are quick as a flash. Think about how long it takes. They have to get some like child in Guangzhou or wherever to put the thing in a box. They have to package it. They have to get the right address. They have to send it off to you. It has to go from Guangzhou onto some plane or ship. And as to get here, you're telling me that you're unimpressed with a week? I think a week and a half is phenomenally quick.
It's long, Gareth. No,
Gareth, I sat at home for 3 years. I couldn't go out. They must fucking get it to me tomorrow. I paid my dues here. We locked down for this. I want the magic.
Yeah, like, no, a week is long. Like, what do you mean a week? I saw these items. I wanted them. Because they're very quick to take the money. The money's gone immediately. And then you guys take like over a week to deliver things that are very dear and near to me. You know, I wouldn't have bought those things if they weren't important for me, myself, and I. How dare you take over a week? No. Make it faster. 3 days max. Thank you. Amen.
Is it not a point that they would have that kind of stuff locally here anyway? Is everything in China?
So Mapelo says in the comments here, I use Amazon. They get their products from local suppliers and deliver the next day, even when you order in the afternoon. So
service delivery.
Yeah.
This is what I want. This is all. Ooh, 1 day, 2 days, thank you. That's it. Not this waiting for a week. No, man. No.
Listen to this. Migs says, I bought 1,000 custom business cards from Temu for 500 Rand with customs charge. That's good value. You see what I'm talking about?
See? And then if you did it and did this like via Postnet, like, I mean, I love Postnet, but it would have cost you 3 million. Like, at some least. Things are
it,
so
it
expensive.
Yeah, it would have.
And you just like, oh, I can't. Not in Cyril's economy. Can't do that to myself.
All right, let's talk about what color is the letter A? I'm fascinated.
Yes.
All right, okay. So Sims, help us, because we've had discussions on the show about what color each day of the week is. Mm-hmm. When you think of someone, what color do you think they are in your mind? You know, in terms of like, do they bring up red or blue or yellow or green or whatever? Mm-hmm. So are you telling me that the letters all have colors associated with them as well?
Not all the letters. So there was a study done, and before I share more, I'm going to ask you guys, what do you guys think the color of the letter A is?
Black.
Black. Yeah. Ben said black. Gareth?
I would have said red. Red. James, Flex, what do you guys think? Let's throw everybody
James
into this.
Said red. Flexible, what do you say? Red. Okay, so we have three people that have said red. Ben, you are...
Flex was doing something else. He just said red because James said red. Like, he could give less of a shit right now about this.
Okay, so the reason why I even posed this question is because there was a study done, and they asked random people what do they think the color of the letter A is. And majority said red. And then they wondered why did a majority
of people say... Why are you psychopaths saying red? It's the first letter.
Right? No, but this stems from childhood, right? So if you
I didn't have one of those.
If you grew up with those magnet letters, most of the time, the letter A was always red, right? And even with books, when they do the letters of the alphabet, they will use A for apple. Apple is red. And so people have grown up not knowing, like subconsciously, you associate red with the letter A.
Wow.
Fun fact. Now I'm going to ask you.
This is amazing for me.
Yes. Fun fact. Also did it for the letter Z. So what color do you think the letter Z is?
Purple.
Oh, Ben. Purple. Okay. Gareth, what color do you think the letter Z is?
Blue in my mind.
Blue. Okay. Both of you guys are wrong. You guys are outliers in this study because majority said black. They associate black with the letter Z.
That's
and
stupid.
It just goes back to what they grew up with and what there's things where Z was for zebra, black and white, black. They associated with that. Fun fact.
So I think it's hilarious that Ben didn't have a childhood, and because we all know he grew up feral, right? And that's why he doesn't see the letter A as red. But Flex and James and I all see it as red.
Yes.
It's like I miss something, and you guys are now making fun of me because this all sounds so stupid to me. And you're like, well, obviously because of this. I'm like, oh, okay. No, I mean, it kind of makes sense as you explain it now.
But you still don't get it. Doesn't
no, well, of course I don't get it. I've got no muscle memory of it. I've got no. I've just learned it. I can't get it if I've just been told it.
It's okay, Ben. It's okay. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It's okay though. But now we know that we all kind of had a similar childhood without really realizing that childhood had a bit of an impact on how we associate the colors of the letter of the alphabet.
All right. Well, we had, this is the kind of thing that we love about what Simpiwe brings to the show is how else would we have known that the letter A was red? And we don't even think about it. And then you hear these things and you go, shit, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a bit of deep psychology. Awesome. All right. So we talked about Snow White. Apparently, it's been an absolute unmitigated disaster at the box office. They've fallen on their faces. This movie is just so shit from beginning to end. And everybody's climbing on and piling on to poor old Rachel Zegler. I mean, I say poor old, but she kind of lit a fire under herself without even knowing, because she decided to get all political instead of just shutting up and acting, which is what she's meant to do. You know, we had this whole show about her. Well, it wasn't a whole show about her, but we talked about her extensively on the show, and it was very, very funny, and lots of people got involved. So I don't know if anyone's actually seen the movie. But the latest we've got on that, it's just a flop.
No, Disney I haven't been to the movies for a long time, nor do I watch movies. But I listened to an interesting podcast with Chris Williamson, who is the new Joe Rogan. And he had this movie critic guy on, and he had some very interesting things to say around these movies. And that's, you keep thinking, why are Disney keep releasing these flops when they don't know the tone of the room anymore? Mm-hmm. But we forget, these movies take 3 years to make.
Mm.
So when they put together this woke whites bullshit, whatever, and they fucked up all the other ones, it was made at a time where this was kind of trendy, you know, like trying to be political, all this kind of stuff. But now it's come out now and it's landing so flat because the world has changed so much in 2-3 years.
Makes sense.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's such a good point too. Didn't think about that. I'm curious because we're slowly running out of time here and we're talking so much this morning. Are we going to get to sport? Shall we do a little sport this morning, Ben?
I don't know. I mean, if you guys' hearts aren't in it, I can't force you, huh?
No, let's hear what's going on with our favorite team. Come on now. You need to know what the boys are doing.
Our favorite. What is your favorite team, Superior?
Stanley. Arkington Stanley.
Oh, those guys. Yeah, I've kind of got off them, huh? They seem to be so obsessed with non-denominational everyone's religious festivals. Also, they got hammered last week, guys. They lost 4-1 to Fleetwood.
Okay, now we can stop with sports.
No, they're basically losers, folks. I mean, like, I would love to always champion the underdog or the dark horse, but no, I just don't have the connection with them. They just we gave them so much and they've returned so little.
But I love the sport. You do for us, Ben, because then I know the weekend is truly coming. You can hear all these things that are happening over the weekend that people get excited about.
It's so exciting. But there's big news in cricket. Mm-hmm. So obviously IPL is on right now, which I can't. I mean, there's games happening, I'm sure. Kakisa Rabada's come back for personal reasons. He's going through some personal stuff right now.
Okay.
I think it'd be quite a relief to get away from that circus. I think it must be so draining. But the Proteas are going to India in November and December. So, fun fact, Cricket South Africa is in a much better financial position than Rugby South Africa.
Oh.
They have more money. Way more money. Because really?
Even though they've been losing.
So much more money in the cricket, hey? So now when they go on these big cash cow tours, they're going to get even more cash. And cricket also pay the women the same amount of money they pay the men.
Really?
Yeah.
And I can't even name a single female cricketer.
Don't worry, you're not alone.
That wasn't a dramatic pause. It was like, yep. So there's a massive tour happening November, December. Okay. So tours, you never know because they get announced quite late.
Okay.
So because the schedules are all over the place, India decides what they want to do. Mm. But the Proteas are going to India for 2 tests, 3 ODIs, and 5 T20s.
Sorry to interrupt you. What's the female, what's the women's cricket team name? Because we have the Proteas, which is the guys. What's
they also like the Lady Proteas. I don't know, guys. You expect me to know everything? We call them the Froteas, and they should have stuck with that. I think everyone everyone's the Proteas.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt you.
As a woman, you should interject and say, well, Ben, so-and-so are also doing this. But now you come to me with blank canvas.
Hey, man, as a woman who's not into sports, I'm going to the guy who knows everything about sports. You know what I mean?
Okay, well, look, it's called a draw. So, look, it's a really big tour, but now these folks are going to India when it is fuck hot. And they're playing these test matches where they're literally going to be sweating through their own assholes. But another thing is like they finish this tour and they go straight into SA20. So SA20 starts on Boxing Day this year because there's no incoming tours for the Proteas. So action-packed time, very exciting cricket end of the year. But right now, the big sport for this weekend, I've got to say, the F1. So there's been so much drama of late.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's the Japanese Grand Prix this week. So obviously all eyes are on Red Bull because what Red Bull did is they took that young Kiwi guy, Liam, and they literally gave him the arse after 2 races. So Max Verstappen believes that he's been bullied. The Cirque was never going to win, okay? So how these teams work is they design the cars for victory. So Red Bull designed their car to make sure that Max wins. So now Liam is not a good enough driver to be on the same sort of footing, right?
Mm-hmm.
This poor Oak is now expected to get a tune out of a car that only Max can drive. Does badly for 2 races. They then hoik him out. They hoik him back into like the Red Bull reserve team. And then they just put Yuki Tsunoda into the main seat. So it is so rough. I mean, you think like everyone talks about Formula One being so difficult to make it in there. It's poor work, 2 races. And he said it was an absolute shock. Imagine coming in after like 1 show, we didn't get good races. Like, sorry, you're out. Just gone. But I'm trying here. I'm built and piss off. And that's what happened to this dude. Even Max Verstappen said it's not right. So Red Bull are going to try to get their domestics together. Japanese Grand Prix. Obviously, everyone is chasing McLaren. That'll be this weekend. A big week of football. There was the CAF Champions League. So Sundowns and Pirates both won.
Oh, nice.
And Sundance even had soccer hooliganism as part of their game.
Oh, that's always exciting.
Yeah, these Oaks from Esperance, who I think probably caused the fight because they like a bit of argy-bargy, those guys. You know, first, say what you want about South African football. You know, overseas, you get the away team, you get the home team.
Yeah,
massive segregation, right? There's walls of security and police people. Yeah, you go to Pirates versus Chiefs, just sitting shoulder to shoulder, opposition. Everyone's having a jaw. Our football fans are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
There's always going to be a rogue element. There's always going to be issues, and there has been disasters. But I don't think our Oaks start the fight. Okay. I think our guys like to cheer and chant and do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it showed because there was an Esperance guy hanging from the side of the Loftus stadium, and a Sundance guy went up and saved the Oak. If he had fallen as an unathletic man, he might have died. But the Sundance guy picked him up. So shame on you, Esperance. Shame on you.
Yeah, exactly.
Come here.
Stupid.
Don't know how to behave. That's not how we do things around here. We're a decent country. Not really, but we still have some pride. So those two teams, big thing to win on the first leg. So Sundance now go away to Esperance where they're going to be throwing flares and lighting shit on fire. They're going to be so... again, Esperance, be better, okay? Be better. Pirates have already gone away. They beat MC Alger. Alger. But our Pirates have got a difficult week because their coach just said, thanks, guys, but I'm out. So it's a huge part of the football season right now, okay?
Sure.
The cup competitions are coming to an end. The league is coming to an end. And he's been there for 3 years, and he's not going to extend his contract. He's just, I'm out of here. Jose Riviera. Yep. So he's leaving in May. That's super, super short. So now, Pirates, for example, play a Saturday against Polokwane. Next week, they're going to go again play in the CAF Champions League against MC Alghera. And then next Saturday, Nedbank Cup semis. So I don't know if it's a good decision to tell the players you're leaving now because you want to galvanize them for one last push. Or it's like, this is the busiest time of the year. No one needs to hear this. This is really bad timing. Either way.
They call that revenge quitting.
But I mean, they're on good terms. Like the guys had a good tenure there. He doesn't hate Irvin Khoza, vice versa. But he's just like, nah, cool, I'm done. But it's such a huge part because it's such a huge season for the Pirates as well. Anyway, on the Premier League, there is the battle for the top four. We all know Liverpool's going to win. They're well ahead. We all know the relegation teams are mostly shite. But as you can see on the log that we've put up here, Chelsea, Man City, Newcastle, Aston Villa, and Brighton. That's pretty much what the race for the top four is because Nottingham Forest, they're holding on here. They're a big week for them. They do play Aston Villa this weekend, which is a big result. If they can get that, I reckon they can be assured of a Champions League spot. Man United's
not even in the top eight. Oh, that's sad. People,
it's 2025. Man United not being in the top eight for a long time. A long time. So, yeah, it's all about the top four, okay? Because once you get there, you get Champions League football. It's a big deal. So this weekend, we've got Everton versus Arsenal at 1:30. Arsenal are playing Champions League next week. They've got Real Madrid. They've just lost Gabriel from the defense. Mm-hmm. They've had massive injuries. I know Saka's back. So they go into these games just hoping they don't get injured right now. That's it. So that's Saturday at 1:30. Crystal Palace versus Brighton at 4. Aston Villa, Nottingham Forest, 6:30. That's a big game Saturday. And yes, Imperial, if you do like Man United, they'll be having the Manchester Derby against Man City at 5:30. Yeah, Brentford versus Chelsea, other big game there, and Fulham versus Liverpool. But rugby, it is the cup competitions. So there's the EPCR Cup, there's the Investec Champions Cup, all back this week for a doubleheader, this weekend and next weekend. All of our teams were a little bit too shy to stay in the Investec Champions Cup, so they're gone. And basically, we'll pick up with then Leinster probably playing either Toulon or Toulouse in the final. We'll get back to that in a few weeks. But the EPCR Challenge Cup, whistle in that.
Okay.
So the Lions, who have mostly been disappointing this season, they're going off to Edinburgh to play them tonight at 9 o'clock. Then tomorrow, the Bulls, who will probably think they could win this. They are taking on Bayonnaise, which is not a source. It's a team in France, 1:30. And then the Sharks, they'll be taking on Lyon Sunday away, 6:30.
Sounds like a person.
It's quite difficult to get through these. You know, like the other French teams, Montpellier, that's pretty simple. Perpignan. In the Champions Cup, there's so many of these guys. There's six of them are in the quarterfinals. Let's not get into that. Bordeaux, Beglaize, Toulouse, Toulon, Clermont.
Toulouse is
Castres. Yeah. And then obviously a big week of golf next week. So on the Bounce Show next week, we're doing a Masters show because the Masters is that major that's just got so much about it. That'll be next week. Right now it is pissing with rain. So how the Joburg Ladies Open progresses from here, it'll be anyone's guess. It might be shortened. I don't think it'll be a 72-hole tournament anymore. They're playing out at Modderfontein. So if you'd like to watch the ladies golf, Modderfontein, Simpiwe, that is where you can be to go support ladies sport this weekend.
Literally the best name for a rained out golf course, Modderfontein, right? That's perfect. Modderfontein.
Modderfontein, yeah, it's getting belted by the rain. Yeah, guys, that's pretty much it for the sports. UFC's a bit down at the moment. We'll pick that up soon. And like I said, yeah, golf next week is massive. And cricket.
I think you should give a plug to your On the Bounce Best Pictures in Sports show, because that's quite an exciting one.
Yeah, this week was a lot of fun. So we had Dimitri Leon Takinakis come back. He is our 101 guy. And the three of us just sat down, me, Sandile, and him, and we had such a great time talking about sports greatest photos. And some of them have backstories that I didn't even expect. I was researching this week. Like, I thought I knew a lot about something. And on the show, we totally unpack that. So we're going to do various parts of this because we got through 10 photos and that was already an hour. So we'll probably do parts 2, 3, 4, 5. Mm-hmm. A lot of great history in sport, huh?
Yeah. Make sure to subscribe to On the Bounce.
Yeah. I like that show. I really do. Hey? I'm so proud of the team. Like Flex, what he does with the editing, the entire team that comes around. It's looking nice. It's looking good.
It's really superb. Yeah, well done to all involved. It's terrific.
Team's really coming together nicely. I do need Senator to track me down some people. she sounds like a winner.
You got to go to a strip club to find the next guest. All right, so we've only got about 15 or so minutes left of the show. We've got quite a lot of stuff I still wanted to tell you about, but I thought this is quite fun. I found a picture that I sent to James, which I want you to see this morning. I think it'll make your day. This is Britain's first female bouncer. Oh. And she doesn't want she doesn't want to be called a bouncer, though. She wants to be called an ejection technician. She technically ejects. Look at her, right? I wouldn't mess with that woman.
That was exactly the picture I was expecting to see. That was it. that was it.
I love it. I don't love the name. I don't. It's just...
No, I don't.
She looks badass.
She knows what chips and newspaper looks like. Hey, man.
Yeah. She's going to pull up on you and be like, what you doing here, mama? And then I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm out. You know who she reminds me of? Matilda. You know the movie?
It's a kid's thing. You don't ask me about kid stories.
Oh, my gosh. So, the movie Matilda, the principal, she looks like that.
Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, awesome. Ben. Hey, Red. Yeah, that woman was born in a bomber jacket. She was literally born in a bomber jacket, and she's had that scar on her face.
I'm going to... You're annoying me now. I'm going to find the principal of Matilda. You need to see that lady. I can't believe you didn't watch that movie.
I said I believed you.
but you need to see it. Now you're
saying I annoy you.
Yeah, I'm saying...
My own trauma.
No, because you need to see it. You need to see, like, people that have watched Matilda will know who I'm talking about. That principal. That's her.
Let me save you some trouble here. You know how I don't remember bad experiences? Like, they just get filed in some cabinet right in the depths of my soul, and I never, ever go there again. And I don't remember bad things. So I could literally walk up to someone who I'd had an argument with the day before and go, hey, how are you? Good to see you again. And they'd be like, what? Don't you remember yesterday we had this huge fight? And I'll be like, nah, I don't remember that. How are you doing? You good? Honestly, that's how I am. So Ben is like that with ugly people. He doesn't want to... honestly, because I send him like funny stuff on Instagram of like really, really ugly people. And he's like, Cliff, stop sending me these fucking ugly ucks.
It's horrendous. You really should stop it. Know your audience. That's not for me. It's depressing. It's fucking depressing. You can psychologically analyze me to the end of days. I don't care. It's depressing looking at those people.
No, you don't find them funny, though. Most of us laugh at that.
Slightest. Like, you have this morbid fascination with freaks and hobgoblins and fucking genetic anomalies that should have been maybe put somewhere. I don't. I don't ever. My eyes never need to see that, ever. No, after you send me something, I've got to go look at like, I've got to go look at Roman architecture. I've got to go look at expensive cars. I need like balance my fucking serotonin levels after you've sent me that shit.
Oh my word!
Like Camilla Parker Bowles is where that's it. That's my floor. There's no, don't send me past Camilla. She is, that's it. That's the cutoff.
All right. Okay. Well, now then I'll send those to. I'll send those to Simpiwe instead.
Oh, no, I don't want to be traumatized.
How bad are you at Google? You've been searching for Matilda for the last 5 minutes.
No, I found her. I wanted to get the right image. I found her, sent to James. Like, I just need validation on this. Like, anybody who's watched Matilda, that ejection, whatever person, this is who she looks like. Okay, the principal of Matilda.
Before we get to the picture, I just want to know what you think about the fact that there are women bouncers. I don't necessarily think it's a bad idea. If you think about clubs, obviously guys are the ones who get into stupid fights. But let me tell you, a guy is no use when he's trying to separate two girls who are in a cat fight. I think it would be a very, very useful thing to have a woman like that woman in the picture around to keep the
girls. Totally agree.
Because you know, when guys, you just need brute force with guys. You just have to punch them or throw them out with, you know, pick them up by the scruff of their neck, kick them out if you have to. But with girls, it requires like a little bit more finesse and understanding. And you have to think on your feet in a way, in a girl way that a guy couldn't. And I don't think a male bouncer is in any way equipped to deal with girls who are like at each other's throats. And I do think there's a massive gap in the market. I'm not saying that I want to see this woman on every street corner looking after stuff. I don't want to see her when I go out, as I do. And, you know, she's at the door. Go, show me your ID or whatever she's going to ask people.
Bouncers already sound like that, Gareth. Come on now.
Look, I don't want to be the guy that knocks on the door of the East Rand, but I'm pretty sure there's female bouncers there. Oh. Have been historically. There's been some rough tunnies that have been. Don't tell me that she's the first.
Sims,
we are a pioneering people. Trust me, we've had female bouncers on the East Rand.
I don't think official ones, but I will say this. Gareth, Ben, the bouncers you guys see at clubs, they're really like these rough guys and they just, you know, like seeing a female version of that. I'm not mad at that because you still need to have that thing where I look at you and I'm scared. You know, I look at some of these bouncers and I'm like, I wouldn't mess with you. I'm going to smile and be nice. And it's the same thing because I bet you she's not only going to deal with the females, she's also going to deal with these guys that think they can, you know, do nonsense.
Well, completely, because she'll get a kick out of that because, let's be honest, growing up, men hit her. You don't suddenly become like that because you were like raised in daisies and puppies. So she'll have no fear as well, which is a great thing.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, so I love it.
I think she's a great hire. If I
just don't like the name, stick to bouncer. Like, you know, in this quest of us being feminist and wanting equality, I think in this regard we need to be treated the same. You want to be a bouncer? That's the name that they've used for years. I feel like that's what you should be using, and don't go with the "I want to be called an ejection." What? No, ma'am. Okay, you want to be treated as equally as the guys are, so you will be called bouncer. Danko.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
I agree.
Yeah.
Ultimately, everyone's calling you a bouncer anyway.
Yes.
It's like with retards and stuff. People use that word all the time. Okay, I don't know what.
So now, imagine we need to learn a new term.
Ultimately, people always go to the source because that's what they do as humans. Don't come with this wasting our time. And ejection specialist sounds like you're doing colostomy bags and stuff.
Yeah. It's not right. It's like it
makes you sound worse.
Mm, yeah, but James, do you have the picture? Can they see it? Look. I was right.
Shit.
You see, that was the principal on the movie it's the Matilda. Same person. It's her. It's her.
Right. That's spot on. Couldn't be more close.
Wow. I mean, yeah.
And you know what she did in the movie? There's as a kid, she had like this like very decadent chocolate cake. And there was a kid who basically had a slice of the chocolate cake. And then how she decided to discipline him was she got the whole school to come to the school hall and basically had like this, a similar chocolate cake, but like it was like triple in size. And then she got the culprit to come and finish that chocolate cake in front of everyone. Awesome. And like halfway through, the kid was like, "Oh, I'm gonna get sick." And she's like, "You're gonna finish it."
Okay, yeah.
So great awesome. Movie to watch, guys. Go watch Matilda. Like,
thanks,
Sabrina. You just reminded me one of those things that I sent Ben that traumatized him is that
I just don't look at it anymore.
There's this woman in a British pub, and they give her a chocolate cake. And she eats it with her hands, but she tucks it in and she pours water on it and slushes it around.
Okay, in fairness, I did comment on that because that was more of a cultural piece of content than a freak piece of content.
Oh, that was great.
I was surprised she didn't finish that. That was my comment. I was surprised how she quit. Someone like that should follow through with that.
What was her name? Like Big Sue or something. What was
something
it?
Like that. Kind of. You know when you have your name on your shirt, you're doing dodgy shit.
There's some respect on my name.
When you arrive at the pub and you've got like Big Sue or Top Tom, you're putting something in your mouth that you shouldn't, and huge volumes of.
It's a respect thing, I guess. You already know who you're messing with.
Yeah.
It's the Big Tom.
What are you guys doing this weekend? Anything fun coming up, Ben Sims?
It's pissing with rain, so my golf is again screwed.
Oh, shit.
It's been quite fun last Friday, actually, with Dimitri's on the show this week.
Did you get that haircut, by the way?
No. Oh. I'll pick it up as a guest somewhere else. But because it rains all the time now, there's actually like golf simulators. So we went and played golf last Friday as bros in the simulator. It was awesome.
Will you do that again this week?
No, I mean, I'm a purist. Mm. But for that day, it was great. We played the Rome Ryder Cup golf course, Marco Simone.
Oh, nice.
It was awesome.
That course, up close personal.
That's just it. Gareth, I'm going to see you tomorrow at the Prison Break Market.
Oh, Prison Break is so great.
And there was something else I was going to do that
just
was hugely exciting.
There, hey? Don't drive.
Well, I don't really drink anymore, so.
No, but the parking there is horrendous. The place is great, but parking, no, don't recommend it.
Oh, really?
No, yes. Mm. So if you've not been to Prison Break, the place is a draw. Love it to pieces, but the parking was second thought. So if you can Uber there, rather do that, because you could spend easily 30 minutes looking for
then,
parking.
But then, like, Marv almost died because of something he caught from an Uber.
Wear a mask. You'll be fine.
That's true. No, is that really true? I don't believe Marvin.
Okay, so for people who don't know, Marv works there. He's part of the building. Okay, he's a big deal. Marv went missing for a while. He had a really bad illness. I know I'm saying this unsympathetically, but he said like he might have caught something from an Uber, which then became a really big illness.
Yeah, so let's go back to the times where they didn't allow us to go out, wear a mask, sanitize everything, and you'll be fine.
You really want that Timo delivery to arrive, huh? No. I like driving now.
Oh,
I'm fine. It's clean.
Okay. Don't say I didn't warn you.
Thank you.
Listen, I don't think you can get diseases from just traveling in a car unless you're doing revolting things like licking the seats.
Yes.
Or,
well, Marv,
which sounds like Marv. Marv. It's a very Marv thing to do.
Marv's maybe
as well,
a seat biter or a seat licker. Should quiz him on this and see what his facial expressions are.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I don't know if there's anything else anybody needs to throw in at this point. Is there anything I've left on the menu that needs to be eaten? No?
Yeah, like and subscribe, yeah. Huh? And watch all the shows on the Real Network. Like this channel is fucking awesome. I have no problem saying this at any stage. These shows, the effort that goes into the show, the subject matter.
Yes.
It's a very good place. Come.
Yes.
By the way, we're going to be, is our guest on Monday confirmed, James?
Prostitute.
Okay. No, not the prostitute. we're not giving her own show. You're not yet.
I'd imagine prostitutes take Monday off in all ways.
Because they've been busy on the weekend.
Just to kind of bounce back from the weekend.
I think Monday's a very low business day for them.
Well,
think,
there's your people. First question. James, show notes. First question.
give us a graph of like which day as a prostitute's your busiest and which day on average is your least busy. You know? No, so we've got someone on the show on Monday. We're going to announce a new thing that's going to be starting up on the Real Network. So there's plenty of stuff happening, and there will be more added in the next coming weeks. So stick around, and thank you very much for being a part of this morning. We will catch you on Monday, bright and early at 6 a.m. Ciao, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
But I'm asking you, you wake up early in the morning, you get yourself dead. How can you feel? You wake early up in the morning, you get yourself, you are dead. How can you feel?